I'm amazed at how many talented and gifted musicians and vocalists are in this church. I don't know if you fully appreciate it, but imagine if you only had one person who could sing and couldn't play an instrument, because that's what happens in some churches. And you sang that song, Over the Mountains. In the 90s, see, I like old songs. In the 90s, we sang that song when I was on the worship team at our church in Kentucky. And on Friday nights, we called them river meetings, because the river of God was so present and so evident that one man, under the anointing of the Lord, he was an elder, he'd been in the church for 40 years. He jumped up on the platform and said, "The river of God is here. Everything you need is in the river. You got to jump in and swim with me." The platform was this high. He leapt off the platform, landed like a belly flop in a pool, except it was carpet, and he swam. And the anointing of God hit everybody in the place. And that started probably, well, that was in the 90s. That was like in 95. And it's still every Friday night at that church. We've been gone for 25 years in New York, and those meetings still go on, and they're still powerful. I received many miracles there, but on the worship team, we sang that song, and it would just make me, I don't know what it was about that song, just such an anointing on it. But I love the "I could sing of your love forever." Now, some people just want the latest and greatest K-Love hits. Do you have K-Love up here? Christian radio station, kind of pre-programmed stuff. And it's wonderful for a lot of the songs that are being written today. But, you know, when you try to sing it on Sunday morning when it's time to worship God, I'm like, I feel like I say to my husband, "Could you sit down here so I can just tell you how much I love you?" And I start like this. "You know, a while ago, I wasn't doing so great. I was really a mess. Boy, the devil had beat me up. I was low. I was lower than dirt. But then you helped me. And then there was another day." It's like all this stuff about where God brought me from. And I find myself sometimes with those songs going, where are we getting to the part about how much we love Jesus and worship him? And I feel like that conversation with my husband where he's like, "Was this about me or about what the devil's put you through? Because I'm here waiting for you to get to the part where you tell me how much you love me." So that's my soapbox. Thank you for the music selection today, and have a good day. I came here just to say that. I love when even some of the new songs are starting to insert some of the old hymns in there for a few lines where you're like, "Oh, I know this." But some of the songs, tell me if it's just me. Maybe it's my age. I don't think it is. But you can't close your eyes and just enter into worship because you're reading and reading. And there's like, am I right? All right. My kids would probably go on, "Mom, stop. Just stop. We get it. You don't like it." But make sure you take time when you worship God to tell him how much you love him and how amazing he is, and that it's not so much about you and what you're going through. Right? Because if you believe the word, it's already done. We stand on the word. The promises are done. Jesus already did it. He said it's a finished work. So he's already done it. Okay, so in my lifetime, I love women's meetings. I'm not a women's ministry preacher. I love talking to people of all ages. I love men and women to minister to, but I love women's meetings. And one of the main reasons is I know what it took for you to get here. I know what you had to go through to give up, especially a Saturday during the holiday time. I love that you all are so wrapped up in your community. You've worked at this thrift store. What's it, the Little House? Is that the Yellow House? Where did I get Little House? Little House on the Prairie.
It used to be the Little Yellow House because it used to be a Little Yellow House next door.
Okay, so what's the name of the store?
Yellow House.
Half of you were going Little House, Yellow House. Depends on, okay, the thrift store, I'll call it. I just love that it's so much a part of your community and what you're doing and how you give to each other and you pull together. And that doesn't happen everywhere. So I don't know if you know how special you really are, all of you. It truly is a gift. So God reminded me recently of a dear, precious friend that I had who's now in heaven. And I did finally get over her leaving and going to heaven. I forgave her for that. She was 10 years older than I am. We were best friends for 30 years. She had my back no matter what. She was there for me. She lifted me up. She guided me. She taught me a lot. And she loved to laugh with me. You have to find somebody who will laugh with you. And you have to focus on something to laugh about because the world wants to make sure you have no joy. The world wants to make sure your focus is on your problems always, right? So she taught me about, and one of her favorite messages to teach on the word was your seat of authority. Now, I'm not going to teach a long time because we have a lot to do and there are a lot of events happening. Right? You guys have got like, okay, how long is she going to be? We got to do boxes. We got to grab something to eat. I got to get to a funeral, a Christmas mart, a shopping, baby shower, bridal shower. You guys have it all going on today. So what I'm going to ask you to do is give me 15 minutes of your attention. I won't go longer than that. Anybody in this room, believe me. Anybody at all. I'm going to keep it. So I've got this friend, and she taught on your seat of authority. She had a great teaching, and she would say all the time, "Not to me, you don't, devil." And I mean, he tried throwing everything at her. And she was a beautiful woman. She used to be a model, and she'd just go, "Not to me, you don't, devil." Not mad, because she said it from a place of victory. She knew he was defeated. She didn't give him a place. You know, too often we're like, oh, the devil's attacking me. He's defeated. It's already done. It's already accomplished. So what we have to do is remember that. She taught on Ephesians 2:4. If you want to turn, I don't know if you have your Bibles. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Okay, Jean, get to the right one. Here we go. Chapter 2, not chapter 3, but that was a good verse. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. And have raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now listen, she taught this. We were at a women's meeting and a woman came up to her a little while later and said, "Could you maybe expound on that a little bit?" She said, "I sure can. Don't get up. Take that place and don't get up." Sometimes we take that place and then 10 minutes later, we've got some other focus on our circumstances and we're out of that seat. We can't give up. We can't get up out of that seat. That's your rightful place, seated in heavenly places. There's so much truth in that. I just love that. Sometimes we will allow the enemy to walk all over us. We let the circumstances get a hold of us. You know, a situation can come up and you have your first response. In the natural response, you rely on your knowledge, right? Maybe it's a doctor's report. Maybe it's a bank report. Maybe it's just some kind of thing that comes up and you go, you know what? I had an aunt that had this once and she didn't make it. That's your natural response, right? You can find that out from the internet. You can look it up. You can go to WebMD. That's really going to help you. You're going to get great uplifting information there. No offense to the medical community, but we don't live there, right? You can have an emotional response where fear sets in. And you're instantly going, now what am I going to do? This is not going to work out. What are my kids going to do? What about my grandkids? Or you get to that fork in the road and you know when you remember, I'm supposed to take every thought captive. You take a thought comes at you. The enemy just throws thoughts at us. We either grab hold of it and shove it into our head deeper, right? Or we go, no, not to me, you don't, devil. And you get rid of it. Pam, your phone's right. I know, I was trying to help a sister out, okay? I told you I got your back. You were supposed to step in there. All right, so we take that thought. Has anybody ever played darts? Okay. So, you know, when I first tried to, I never did go back to it again. And I threw the dart and I went, I hit the bullseye. I didn't hit it hard enough. It fell right down to the ground. So it didn't count. That's what we have to do with thoughts from the enemy. You got to have so much word in here that that's your first go-to. Your first go-to is, what does the word say? By his stripes, I'm healed. God showed me once, he said, when you go to a doctor and he tries to give you a report, as I had given to me, you guys know I've been healed of so many things. But one of the things I remember sitting there and he said, well, we're just amazed that you're still alive, but you have celiac disease. I said, oh, well, that means you can't eat gluten. I said, oh. He said, gluten's in everything. I said, oh, there's no cure for it. You're going to have this for the rest of your life. I said, oh. He goes, do you understand what I'm saying to you? I said, I do hear what you're saying. He goes, but do you understand it? I said, I hear everything you're saying. And he just looked at me. I said, sir, I am not coming into agreement with your medical report. I'm in agreement with the word of God. And God taught me to stop sitting here shaking my head yes and getting in agreement. There's no cure for this. Oh, yes. Now it's in me. There's no cure for what I have. You're going to have this forever. Okay. Now I'm taking ownership of that. I got this forever. No, I'm going to listen. I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to be foolish. You're sick. Go to the doctor. Pray. Go to the doctor. See what the doctor has to say. Sometimes it's, you know, we can have this surgery and cut out that tumor and you're done. You're good. Then you go, all right, God, do you want me to have this surgery and get this tumor out? Or do you have a different way? Be smart about it. But don't come into agreement with every symptom that they're trying to tell you you're going to have and how bad it's going to get. Just don't come into agreement with it. You don't walk out of there going, well, that lady who came from America said, no, just listen to the Spirit of God, get counsel, find somebody who's a powerful prayer, who's such a warrior, when she opens her mouth, the fire of God comes out. We had a pastor's retreat in Florida last year. I don't even remember. I don't know. Maybe last February. We had this wonderful, sweet time with the women pastors, and we had separated from, had the men downstairs, the women were all sharing about things, and I was facilitating, and then I knew I needed to wrap it up in prayer, and I thought, God, I don't want to pray. And he went, Jen. I said, Jen, would you pray? I didn't finish the word pray. And the fire of God comes out of her mouth, and this woman starts praying the power of God down into that room. Half of us were like this. The other half were receiving it. We were like, she's so quiet. All the time, oh, good morning. Oh, hi. Oh, it's lovely to be here in Florida. And then, boom, to the point that the men came up from their meeting going, what is going on in here? Yeah. So whenever you get a report and you need somebody to come in agreement with you, I'd call her first. Text her, call her, whatever. She can even type out a prayer that'll knock you on your backside. Yeah. So get in agreement with somebody about what you are needing God to do. Do not step over into the flesh. Robert and I stood, this isn't all about health. So Robert and I got in the car one day. He turned on my car and nothing happened. And I looked at him and I remembered somebody had told me the acronym, fear, false evidence appearing real. Have you ever heard that? That's what fear is. False evidence appearing real. He looked at me, I looked at him and I go, we're fine. The car's fine. We're not moved by this. The car's fine. Let's just try it again. He goes, okay. Turns it and the car started right up. Now, we could have not done anything. Great. Get out of the car. Cancel where we were going. Call a mechanic. Go through all of that, right? But instead we went, no. We're not giving in to this. This is false evidence appearing real. I don't want a big mechanic bill. I don't want to cancel where I have to go. I'm not putting up with this. God, take care of it for me. And he does. So you take every thought captive. And you make sure that you don't let the enemy get in with your thoughts. Because what happens after you have those thoughts? It comes out here and you start saying it. All of a sudden now you're talking trash talk. You're just talking trash talk. So you go down that road of what the word is saying to you. Not the soul response, but down the road of what the word says. You have to let your spirit rule the situation. In your spirit is the word. We're spirit beings. We take the foundational truths that we have in us. This is why it's important to stay in the word all the time. You get more of it in you. So when something comes up, that word is coming out. Now listen, if you haven't been in the word and a situation comes up, get in the word. And you might sit here like I did for a long time going, okay, I need healing. Where was that? What page? What book? I don't even remember where that was. I hadn't acquainted myself with the promises of God. But guess what? Now we have Google. Now we go. See, this is why you don't have your phone in church and use your Bible app. Because I'm like, oh, Anna Lee. Well, she called me. Oh, I missed that. I can't have my phone. If that was a picture of my grandson, I'd go, hold on just a minute. And I'd look at the picture. Okay, so you get on your phone, you go to Google, and you say, what does the word say about healing? And you know what? It's there. Now pay attention, make sure it's truth. But you can find scriptures on Google if you're like, God, I'm desperate. I'm so upset right now, I can't even think what I know in the word. Google it. Put that down. Don't let the enemy beat you up with it. Pick up your phone and Google. What's the word say about promises? What's the word say about finances? And I am amazed at what comes up. I started doing it just to see if AI was, you know, really a truthful thing. It pulls from information on the internet. You got to be careful with some of it. I almost sent out a video of two moose turning over a minivan that I saw the video. And I thought, I got to show all my Canadian friends. These moose tipped over a van. And then I looked and I went, how many legs does that moose have? Sure enough, it was AI. So don't be taken in by that. But I almost made a fool of myself sending it to all of you guys going, I'll just tag the church. They got to see what these moose can do. Okay, so we want to get the word. We got to go back to the roots of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Somebody really wants you. We had an old railroad guy in our church, and his phone was set to a train, and he didn't turn it off one Sunday. You should have seen that. Woo, woo. And you're like, it's getting closer. You're looking around going, it's coming. And he was hard of hearing. So he just sat there in church looking around, and we're all like, you want to turn off your phone? Yeah. Somebody had to. Listen, 10 minutes later, my phone went off. I'm like, look, I turned it off. It was the craziest thing. It was just the enemy wanting to mess us up or God wanting to give us a laugh. We'll go with either one. Did you just put your phone out there? That was really smart. Like, I'll take care of you, devil. I'm just going to go put this cake as far away from me as I can get it. I hear you. I hear you, and I believe you completely. Okay, so we want to go back to the roots of our relationship with God. If you get off track, go back. Hang on, wait a minute. God said he knew me before I was in my mother's womb. We talked about this last night a little bit. Where we go, hold on. Let's go back to what the truth is and what I do know. I know everything Jesus did on the cross was a finished work. I know that I don't live in that. That's the old nature. I know that I'm a daughter of the Most High God, and I don't live like this. So I'm taking authority over it. I'm taking authority over my thought life. You start reminding yourself who you are. Wow, that's powerful. So I have to ask, Char, is this live stream? Okay, good. That answers that next story question. Okay, so I don't like to tell some stories that go out over the internet, so I'll tell y'all later. It's a great story. Okay, Psalm 139:13. You brought my inner parts into being. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for you made me with fear and wonder. Marvelous are your works, and you know me completely. Girls, that's for us. How many times do we say to other people, but especially spouses, you just don't understand me. You just don't even know me, do you? Like, we get all caught up in, we have so many thoughts. We want to share them, and we just want to make sure we're known. We want to be heard. But sometimes we get emotional, and so what we are wanting to say isn't coming out, just all of our emotions. You know, I told the story last night about the false identity I had that I didn't need help from anybody. What I should have said to my husband during those times was, you know what, honey, I'm exhausted and I need your help. It's not because I'm not capable of doing hard things. It's because I'm tired and I need help. That's all. And my husband would go, honey, go sit down. Now, sometimes he might say, you can do it tomorrow. And sometimes he might say, I'm going to do it. Or let's do it together. Right? Well, we'll pray for him. Okay. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and intricately put together in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw me unformed, yet in your book all my days were written before any of them came into being. If we remind ourselves that we are made in his image without sickness, No disease. All of our needs are met perfectly. We were in the garden, right? In his crazy extreme love for us, he created us without any of these issues. Nothing negative. Everything was wonderful. Made in his very own image. And then Adam and Eve believed the lies. The law goes into effect. I won't go into all the law. We don't have that much time. And I don't even like to focus on it. I like to focus on this side of the cross and what Jesus did for me. Right? Think about when Jesus came. He walked this earth in his ministry saying what he heard the Father say. The Father's not saying you're sick and dying. The Father's not saying you have no money and you have no hopes of getting any ever. He's not saying that. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came to give you life and life more abundantly. So I always look at a situation and go, is this the abundant life? No. So it has no right in my life. It's the enemy trying to kill, steal, or destroy. That's a great way to test something. What category does it go in? Now, sometimes it's because of our own stupid choices and we do dumb things and we say dumb things and we get ourselves into trouble. And then we just go, God, forgive me. I'm getting back into my right thinking of being your daughter and I'm not going to live like that. And I shouldn't have done what I did. So help me to get through the consequences of my actions. And I ask you, like you say in your word, to work all things together for my good. I don't know how, but I trust you're going to work all things together for my good. And when every day, 100 times a day, if you need to, you keep saying it. You can sound like a broken record when you're speaking the word. And all of a sudden you go, oh, I get it. He's going to work this out for my good. And then all of a sudden you see it come to pass. The word works for us. So Jesus walked this earth saying what he heard the Father say. He heard we're healed. He heard rise up and walk. You know, if you ever really want to lift your spirit, pull out one of those Bibles where the words of Jesus are in red. That's a great place to start if you're having a rough day or you feel like I can't remember anything that I've learned. Get into that place. Read those words that Jesus spoke. He said what he heard the Father say. He did what he saw the Father do. I was in church one Sunday and the associate pastor got up and walked out of the room. And God said, go follow him and pray for him. I said, right now, in the middle of church, I got real religious about it. I got up and walked out in the hall. The associate pastor was coming down the hall and he said, good morning. And I said, Pastor Dan, I need to pray for you. He goes, okay. And he walked right up against the wall like this. So I just started to pray for him. And I was praying that all of his needs were met and that God was making his way prosperous. And all of a sudden, I saw in the spirit and did what I saw the Father do. And I put my hand on his shoulder. I saw it, so I did it. And it was kind of a little test for me. It was one of the first times I'd ever done it. And I went, all right, I see it. So I put my hand on his shoulder and he went like this. And I thought, did I offend him? Because I touched him. He was a real tall guy. But I just went on praying. I finished and I said, are you okay? He goes, uh-huh. I said, did I upset you by, you know, we're in the hallway. Everybody's around. I said, did I upset you putting my hand on your shoulder? He goes, no, you just freaked me out. I said, why did I freak you out doing that? He said, because I had a dream last night that a woman came up to me in church and prayed for me and she put her hand on my shoulder. He said, so when you did that, it jolted me. The Spirit of God was speaking to me saying, now listen to what she was just prompted to pray for you because it's truth. That man is so prosperous today. Got promotions at work. He walked into it. He knew that I did what I... Now, it did for him. It did for me. I was like, yes. Now when I see these things, I'm not going to hesitate and go, is this me? Has anybody ever had that happen to him before? Where you think, this is a weird thing, but this is what I see God doing, so I'm just going to step out in faith and do it. Sometimes the people won't admit, yeah, you were supposed to do that. You were supposed to say that. But sometimes they'll tell you. Okay. Every morning, we want to do what Jesus did. He went to the garden to pray. Jesus had to get away from everybody. If Jesus had to get away from everybody to pray and get some quiet time, we need to do it too. It's important to us. I used to pray in my office. I had to go find a different place because I'd sit down in my office to pray and I'd go, let me just take care of this. There's that. I got to just send this email and then I'll pray. I thought, this is not a place. It's like sitting in traffic trying to pray. So it's not the best place to sit down and pray. So I have to get away someplace without all the things in front of me. But Jesus did it because he wanted to get into agreement with the Father. That's what we want to do each day. We meditate on the word, not in a new age, light some incense and set the mood music and all that, but meditate, take it in, chew on it, think about it, take it apart, take a verse. Some people don't get into the word because they go, I don't have 5 hours like pastor does to read the word. Few people have 5 hours a day to sit and read the word, but you can open up your Bible. And you can just start reading. Day before yesterday, I opened up and I went, what? This is beautiful. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Now that got me going. And I thought it was precious that I just opened up my Bible and there it was. I kept reading, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. There you go, God. You're not withholding anything good from me. You can kind of go on your day with a spring in your step when you get a hold of the word, right? So that was a fun thing. So I get into that word. And I let it get down into my spirit because it's important what we say. It's important what words come out of our mouth. Now, I want to wrap this up here real quick. And I want to ask you, is anybody else excited for this new season we're in? I love new seasons. I love taking down the old decorations and putting up the new decorations. I love getting my mind into what that season usually traditionally holds. There are times when God starts to prepare me for the next season way in advance. Now, I had a very busy summer getting ready to go to Africa, going to Africa and recovering from going to Africa. So it took up a whole lot of time. And on August 15th, God said, I want you to prepare for your next season. And my thought was September 22nd, that's the first day of fall, so I got a little time. And God said, I want you to be prepared with anything you can do now. And I thought, what can I do now for next season? So, of course, I went downstairs and I got out all of my fall decorations. It was 90 degrees outside and I had pumpkins and fall decorations everywhere. And dining room table had my fall dishes and my little pumpkin soup dishes. And my husband comes in. He's going to go sit down and relax. And he went, it's August 15th. I go, yeah, you're right. It is. What are you doing? I said, God told me to be ready for the next season. He goes, oh, okay. And sat down. Didn't give me a hard time. We have to understand, though, that sometimes in our next season, there are things from the last season we're not taking with us. And you know what? Sometimes those things are people. Sometimes we find ourselves going, wow, we used to be so close. I wonder what happened. God, if I did something, show me so I can fix this. But sometimes those people are not ones who are going to understand what God's doing with you in your next season. So you got to ask God, what is it from that season I'm bringing with me into this next one? I took down all of the pretty summer decorations and put them away because they had nothing to do with this next fall season that I was in. If you understand what season you're in, then you can apprehend what the season holds for you. Don't fight your season, embrace it. Receive all that God has stored up for you in the season you're in. So this is what we can declare. I receive all the provisions that I need for the season I'm currently in, spiritually, financially, relationally. My current season is positioning me for greater glory. I don't have to make it happen on my own. I flow with my season. So don't fight what God is showing you. So he's had us talk about the word. He's had us talk about get back to our roots of our relationship. Remember that we live by the word. Don't put our eyes on circumstances. All these like basics that he's had us covering this morning, right? They're reminders probably to no one in this room. Was it a deep revelation? But there are times when God's like, focus on me. I got a few things to remind you of that you've forgotten. It's a busy time we're coming into. Clearly today shows that you have 5 events to go to. But God says, keep your eyes on me and pay attention to what I have for you in this season. Go back to the word. Hold on to the word. Don't be moved off the word. And you know, I thought, now, Lord, why are we going down this path this morning? And then I realized, for the third time, I'm going to wrap this up. Then I realized what happens in this holiday season. Usually kids are around, grandkids, aunts, uncles, close family, and not all of them think the way we think or believe what we believe. But here we are serving them, making them their favorite things, getting our house ready, getting ready for that season. Ask God to give you grace to deal with difficult people that will be coming around this season. Ask him to show you how to smile. Don't be a doormat, but smile. They don't get a right to come in and blast their beliefs or their political stance on you, but smile. Love them. Be Jesus to them. Remember, you're a daughter of the Most High God. You're not the lowly thing that they're trying to put on you, right? Some people just want to keep us down. They don't want to see us succeed or get better or do better. Get a reminder from God of what season you're in. And you know what season you're in? The wisdom that goes with being a daughter of the Most High God. The revelation that, hang on, I'm his daughter. And people don't get to walk on me. Because I know what the word says about me and who I am. And I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to walk in all that God has done for me and has for me. I'm not going to walk in fear. I'm not going to walk in lack. And I know that what this season holds is wondrous things, beautiful things, an exciting time for me because it's a new season and new seasons always bring amazing things. Right? So this little declaration about the season you're in came out of a 21-day devotional that my daughter wrote called Your Defining Moment. I don't know if you can see her. Pastor Corey really wants to have her come up. And as soon as she does, you won't invite me back because she's so amazing. I'm kidding. She's precious. But I love that when you're looking at your next season, and maybe some of you are like, I don't even know what season I'm in. I have no idea what this season is about, but I know the one who says my steps are ordered. I know the one who formed me in my mother's womb. He knows all the hairs on my head. So one thing we need to stop saying is, I don't know. I don't know. That's a bad confession, because you know the Father, and the Father will reveal everything you need to know. But other than that, just move forward in peace. Whatever you want me to say and do today, Father, I'm doing it. And I trust that it's preparing me for this next season that I'm going into. And I will receive all the provisions that I need for that season, spiritually, financially, relationally. I'm being positioned for greater glory. I don't have to make it happen, but I flow with my season. I feel like, and I'll talk about it a little tomorrow, but I feel like there is this tremendous plan of God for this church family. I feel like you all are right on, like you're crossing over that threshold of what God has for you next, and it's amazing. Right here in Manning, as you go into wintertime, it's an amazing season that you're in. So ask God, what do I need to let go of and leave in the last season? And what am I bringing with me? What do I need to watch out for that you're bringing to me? I love change. I love new things. Andre Bronckhorst came and he said, boy, you're in a season of transition. I thought, great. Because at 68, you think maybe you found your groove and you know where you're going and what you're doing and how you're going to get there. But I love change. I love new things. And I love jumping in the deep end. I'm not good at wading in and getting my feet wet and getting used to it. I'm like, I'm all in. Let's just do it, God. I trust you. So ask God what season he has you walking into and what he has there and how you need to prepare for it. What things get boxed up and either taken to the little yellow house or kept for next time. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the love that you pour out on us, your daughters. We are royalty, every single one of us, because we belong to you. We have that relationship with you. You're our Father. You are the Most High God. You love us above all things. You sent your Son to die for us. What greater way could you show us how much you love us than to do that? Father, I thank you that we are reminded of your word. We're reminded of our seat of authority, that we don't get up from it. We don't let the enemy walk all over us. We don't give in to our emotions, but we stand on your word and your word alone to keep us on the right track, to keep us from falling off into the ditch. Thank you, Father, that you have promised us that your plans for us are good and not evil, but to prosper us and give us hope. Thank you, Father, that this next season will be our best yet. We don't have to look to our past and say those were the days. Our best days are ahead of us, God. So I thank you that you guide us and prepare us to walk into that. Now, Father, as we go on from here, some to go prepare these amazing boxes for these children, I pray, Father, that you show us exactly as Jen prayed, what goes in what box, and we pay attention and we're focused on those kids. And for those of us that have to go and be at a funeral, a baby shower, a bridal shower, out in the community, every place we're going, Father, when we walk in that room, the atmosphere is changed and our presence is noted and it's needed. So remind us, God, to focus on what you're saying and what you're doing so that we do likewise. You intend for us to be a blessing everywhere we go, whether it's to the post office, the gas station, or to go speak to 1,000 people, Father. You have purpose in our everyday, and you've ordered our steps. We change people's lives every time we encounter them. So remind us of that, Father, that we go with that knowledge. We go with that awareness. And we say, Father, lead us to people who need us today, that you've designed for us to minister to. And lead us to the people that we need. I thank you, God, that there's not one day wasted. There's not one minute wasted in our lives. But Father, we are women who multitask, who can do so many things at once. You've designed us that way, and so we're always looking for ways to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for everything we put our hand to today. And I commission the angels to go with each of us, surround us, keep us safe, keep us from harm, and protect us in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies.